Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, The Universal Blueprint for Building a Healthy Family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, and welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio. I am so glad you've joined us today. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop, and I'm your host today. Today we're going to be talking about the universal laws for achieving happiness between parents and within families. Before I introduce my special guest today, I just want to remind all foster parents to check in at the beginning and the end of the show today if you'd like to qualify for continuing education credits. Just call in or use the chat room. For detailed instructions, go to parentstooltalk.com/links. That's parentstooltalk.com/links with an S on the end. And just click the link that says CEUs for foster parents, and all the instructions are right there. Next, let me tell everyone who's listening live that we are taking questions today after our first break and through the rest of the show. To call in with a question, just dial 347-205-9654. That's 347-205-9654. When you connect, press the 1 key on your phone pad, and that'll raise your hand and let us know that you've got a question. You can also call in just to listen, but when you press that 1 key, that's how we know you've got a question. Another way that you can submit your questions is using our online chat room. Just type in your question there by going to parentstooltalk.com and click the play/chat button just underneath today's show title and description to access the chat room. Again, that's parentstooltalk.com and click on the play chat button. Now, everyone who calls today with a question or sends us a question by chat is going to be eligible to receive a free session with my special guest, and I'll give you more details about that at 20 minutes past the hour. Last but not least, we also have a really great handout for today's show with my special guest, Trevor Dimmick, and that handout is called The 10 Laws of Happily Ever After, which is also the name of his upcoming book. If you want to go and get that handout, you can follow along with our discussion today. To get it, you can go right now to parentstooltalk.com/links, and there will be a link right there, and you can download that and follow along as we go through our talk today. So without any further ado, let me introduce my special guest expert for today's show. Trevor Dimmick is a certified family life educator with a bachelor's degree in child and family studies. Trevor has developed his own theory of change called the Circle of Change, which has been the key to his own success as well as the success of his clients. Trevor has overcome many obstacles in his life on the way to success. In the seventh grade at age 13, he was diagnosed with dyslexia. He was reading on a third grade level and had difficulty spelling and remembering information. He was described by others as dumb, stupid, lazy, and a class clown. Academically, he was struggling and turned to humor to hide his inabilities. Today, Trevor has successfully become proficient at reading, spelling, and remembering. He's also bilingual and owns two successful businesses. Trevor and his wife, Teresa, have enjoyed more than 12 years of marriage and have adopted two children, Kyler and Jocelyn. Trevor, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Jody, for having me.
Well, good. I'm really looking forward to our discussion today because it actually gets into an area that I cover in one of my non-parenting workshops, which is I have a workshop called The Inner Secrets of a Stress-Free Life, and I help people understand how their thoughts, feelings, and actions and belief systems all play into creating their reality. And I don't tie it in necessarily with parenting, and that's actually kind of the next step that I've been asked to go, and your topic really does that beautifully of tying in both parenting and universal laws. So I was very intrigued when I saw your information and was very interested in talking with you. So before we dive into these 10 laws that we'll be covering, the most important first four that we'll be covering, before we kind of move beyond your introduction there, is there anything about your experiences or challenges that kind of played into your development of these universal laws or helped you develop your circle of change theory?
It is. Actually, a lot of what I've developed stems from that and those disabilities and struggles that I encountered as a child and, you know, through my youth growing up. And I think that's really what sparked my interest in wanting to help people because I've been there. I know how hard life can be, but most importantly, that it doesn't have to be that way. Our thoughts and our feelings and our beliefs can all, you know, all those tied together, if you can learn how to control those a little bit better and change those, it can greatly affect the outcome of our life and where we end up and how difficult life becomes in any aspect of life, parenting, you know, marriage, employment with our boss, any type of relationship really stems back to individual beliefs and individual feelings and thoughts about ourselves and those around us. So.
Yeah, so many people, depending on what they experience in their life, you know, we have a choice whether or not to view what happens to us as something that makes us a victim or a victor, which is what I often say in my Inner Secrets class. And a lot of it really comes down to choice. And I think a lot of times people think they don't have much control over their life or what may happen to them. They think life comes at them. And they really do have a lot more choice and a lot more control than we often realize. And so I think a lot of what we're going to talk about today will help people recognize that. So good. Let's move into, you call these universal laws. So why do you call them universal, and what is a universal law?
Well, I chose to call them universal laws because I truly believe and found in the work I've done that they apply to everyone. If you think about a universal law, you know, we learn about those in school, but it's typically in science and physics. We learn about the universal law of gravity and the universal law of motion. We learn about universal laws in mathematics like addition and subtraction. No matter where you go in the world, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, no matter where you go in the world, gravity is keeping, you know, your feet on the ground kind of thing and keep you from floating around. And what I've found is that in life and within relationships, there's these universal laws that apply to everyone, but they're not really taught. We don't learn about them in school. Some of us learn about them through life experiences and we figure them out. But oftentimes, either we don't learn about them or we kind of forget about them or we just don't keep them in our conscious or on our thought process because we're so busy with life that we kind of forget about these things. And it's always nice to have that reminder or to learn about, you know, these universal laws and how they affect our life, like the law of choice.
And let me just comment before we move into the law of choice, because I do, that's the next thing I'd like to ask you about. The thing about universal, and it's interesting when you were talking about you know, I think everybody's familiar with maybe laws of mathematics and gravity and things like that. And you mentioned marriage or relationships. And I think a lot of people think that relationships don't have any kind of universalness to them, that children are right, and they are correct in thinking children are, each and every one of us is very unique. Each child is very unique. Each relationship is very unique. And so they infer from that, therefore, that the dynamics between one marriage and another, or between one child's behavior and another, would be completely unique. And there really are some universal patterns to human behavior. In the Parents Tool Shop, I have a universal blueprint for making decisions and solving problems, and they're based on, you know, a couple of questions that we can ask ourselves, and we're not going into that today. We're looking at your system today. But one of the things that I think people are surprised at is that there can be, once we understand how the laws work, then we can apply those in an individualized way to our particular family or child or relationship. And so it does help for folks to recognize what some of those universal principles are. Now, of course, I've done, you know, presented mine and my particular way, and what we're going to do is take a look at yours. So let's take a look at and start to go through what you call the universal laws of change. And the first one is this law of choice. And you say that this law of choice can help parents spend more time with their children. Explain what the law of choice is and maybe use that as an example.
Well, the law of choice basically states that, you know, every second of every day, we're placed with a choice. Right now, we're choosing to listen to each other. We're choosing to respond to each other. And depending upon that choice depends on where we end up. And kind of how I relate this is if you're heading down a path, you know, every second there's a fork in the path, and you've got to choose, you know, which path are you going to follow? Are you going to go left? Are you going to go right? And oftentimes those second-to-second, minute-to-minute, you know, even day-to-day choices that we make, they don't necessarily seem to, you know, show much difference, you know, of change of where we're going to end up. For example, if you were to cross the road, you know, just walk across the street, if you were to change your course or your path 5 degrees, you know, you're still going to get across to the other side of the road. But if you were to fly from California to New York and you were to change your course 5 degrees, you'd miss New York. And so oftentimes as a parent, those minute-to-minute, second-to-second, even, you know, day-to-day choices, we need to be more conscious of those and how they're affecting our children. You know, it's really easy as a parent, just when our kid comes and says, oh, I want to play with you, or will you come help me do this, or can you do this kind of thing, and they're inviting us to spend time with them and be a part of their lives. You know, as parents, it's really easy to say, oh, I'm too busy right now. Oh, I need to watch the news. I need to watch the game. I need to clean the kitchen. I need to pick up dinner. I need to prepare dinner. You know, there's all these tasks as parents that we're responsible to take care of, and realizing that when we make that choice, oh, well, you know, I'm too busy right now, whatever it may be that keeps us from spending time with our children, that it seems like, well, we're just crossing the street. It's really not going to affect my child that much by me doing this instead of spending time with them. Problem is we do that every day, all the time. Eventually, when our children grow older, they're not going to seek for our approval or look to us as a source, as a resource to get advice or to come to us when they're having problems, because, you know, maybe we chose to do other things instead of being a part of their life when they're younger.
So what you're saying is that all those little choices can add up.
Yeah, definitely, and completely
yeah.
change
it makes
the relationship we have with our children. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I often run into with parents, and a lot of times it's at the very beginning of whether or not they're even deciding to do a parenting class or read a book or just learn about parenting, is that a lot of times parents are looking for quick fixes, or they may realize they have a choice, but I don't know that they always realize the possible outcomes of each of their choice options. And I often will tell people, you know, my job isn't to tell you how to raise your kid. My job is to help you be aware of the choices that you have and the possible outcomes of each choice so that parents can be making conscious choices about what it is that they do. And so I think that kind of ties in with what your concept here is, really be thinking about what that choice may mean in terms of the consequence of that choice.
Exactly. You know, it's easy for us as parents to look back and go, man, I'm a horrible parent sometimes. You know, when you start to pay attention to those choices, you think, wow, I'm just not doing very well. I keep, you know, because we allow life to overrun us sometimes and to control our life, and understanding that we have that choice. You know, it's all right if the dishes are dirty, if the sink's full of dishes. It's all right if you know, we're not completely prepared for something. You know, maybe take that 5 minutes and give our kids a little bit more attention, and not worry so much about the main, you know, life mending, you know, mundane kind of things that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and let some of those go once in a while. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, don't do dishes until your kids are grown out of the house or anything.
Right.
But, you know, just, you know, don't, I mean,
take
my wife and I were married for 8 years before we had kids. And we kept a very, you know, spotless house. I mean, you know, there was never dirty dishes in the sink, or at least not very often. You know, the house was always kept very well. And you know, now I'll come home from work and the sink's full of dishes and the house is a little bit cluttered, and I'm thinking, wow, what's been done? And then I look around and I see my wife on the floor playing with our kids, and I'm thinking, that's what was done today, and that's what needed to be done today.
Yeah, it reminds me of that little plaque that is up on a lot of parents' walls. Of, it has something about, you know, the dust can wait, the children can't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, choices are a really big piece of, I know what I teach with parents in terms of offering children choices within limits. And one of the things that parents will often say is, well, you know, sometimes we don't have a choice. And my response to that is that we always have a choice. Every second of the day we have a choice. People right now made a choice either to listen to the show or to not. If somebody's listening, they'll make a choice whether or not to ask a question or not. Someone who's in a class, they can choose to stay awake or not. We make a choice to get out of bed every day. And even if there's something that we, quote, have to do, and I think children probably feel like this is more their case, you know, well, I have to do it. You're not giving me a choice about whether or not I have to do it. We still have a choice about our attitude. You know, if we're in a job that maybe we don't like, yeah, we can choose not to go in, but we can also choose to go in and either go in with a negative attitude or a positive one. So there is always some element of choice, just we sometimes have to look for it to find it.
Exactly. And the other side of that is our children also have that choice. Oftentimes, as parents, we want our children to be blindly obedient to us and do everything we tell them to. Go clean your room, you know, they do it. But they also have that choice whether or not they want to do what we tell them to do follow our counsel or advice.
Yeah, and our job is to help children choose to do that based on the way that we present the information rather than, you know, kids can learn to blindly be obedient and then they'll do very well following orders, but they may not necessarily know how to make choices and how to make decisions. So what I always tell parents is set your bottom line and figure out what needs to happen and then offer choices for maybe when or how that can happen. So there's still some element of choice, but parents aren't just saying, oh, you got a choice, you know, whether or not this gets done. Well, no, you know, some things do need to get done. Teeth need to be brushed, sleep needs to be had, homework needs to be done, but maybe you can have a choice about when or how it's done and to get very creative with that so kids can have some way of choosing the way they do it.
Exactly, and that sometimes I think we forget that as parents when we're, especially when we're wanting them to do something that's important to us, that we forget that there is a choice there and finding better, like you said, creative ways to help them want to do that is the key. So.
Yeah, and if it's important to us, helping them see why that's important so maybe they can internalize the importance of doing that and then they will do it on their own later on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's go to your next law, which is the law of symptoms, and they remind us what to do when we're trying to solve problems.
Well, oftentimes, the law of symptoms states that symptoms are indicators of a problem, not a problem. If we think about our physical body, if we were to break a bone, oftentimes you can't necessarily see the broken bone, but it's the symptoms of the broken bone, the pain and the swelling and the heat that we actually can experience or it registers that there's something wrong. And if all we do is treat the pain and the swelling and the heat, the broken bone will never be resolved or fixed, and it will continue to create more symptoms until it is fixed. Well, with life and being a parent and in a relationship with anyone, there are symptoms and then there's problems. And oftentimes we try to solve the symptoms and not the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the most difficult task is determining, is it a symptom or is it a problem that I'm treating and trying to resolve? But if we're only treating the symptoms, the problems will never go away.
Mm-hmm.
But once we treat the problem, any symptom associated with that problem, they all go away at once. And it's typically a long-term thing that they don't come back. If we treat a problem and it temporarily leaves it, but it comes back a little bit later, you know, maybe it's a symptom, not necessarily a problem we're treating.
Yeah. And in Parents Tool Shop language, what you just explained is everyone who's read Parents Tool Shop out there is going, onions, onions, because in Parents Tool Shop they say problems are like onions. They can have a lot of layers. And what we often see on the surface is just the surface behavior or emotion, but it's really being caused by a deeper issue. And exactly the analogy that you use, I usually use the idea of a disease, you know, and that it may cause sores on my skin, and I can keep putting stuff on the sores, but if I don't cure the disease that's causing the sores, then they're just going to keep coming back. So very similar concept there. And I appreciate that you offered some guidelines for figuring out if it's a symptom or the core problem of looking to see if it comes back or not. That's a good way of
if it keeps
all that.
Returning, it's And oftentimes as parents, we see when our children throw a fit, oftentimes we can see that as a problem rather than a symptom of a problem. And the actual fit throwing may not necessarily be the problem. Maybe the problem is maybe feelings of inadequacy or feelings of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And doing something or saying something to help our children feel accepted and feel wanted or feel needed oftentimes will get rid of the symptom of fit throwing. It's not an absolute, but, you know, it's just determining because, like it says, these laws are universal, but you've got to learn to apply them individually to each child and each person that you deal with in a relationship. So
yeah, and behavior in particular, Dreiker says that all intentional misbehavior serves a purpose. Recognizing when children seem to be misbehaving on purpose, that we can take a look at what purpose it may be serving and go to our the four goals of misbehavior and all of that. So which I won't go into now. Folks who are listening know that they can get that on the Parents Tool Shop website and other places too. So we actually are at 20 after. Time flies when we're having fun. So we're going to take a break because I know that there's some folks who are on the line, not sure if they've got questions or not, but we want to give them a chance to ask questions if they've got any, and then have just a couple of announcements. So Trevor, if you just want to take a breath and get a sip of water or something, it'll just be a minute or so, and then we'll be back, and we will pick up where we left off with the next law. Hello, everybody who joined us. Let me just take a few minutes now to welcome you. And this is Parents Tool Talk, and I'm your host, Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop. And today we're talking with guest expert Trevor Dimmick on the subject of universal laws for happy parents and families. We're going to open up our conversation now to questions, so if you'd like to partake in our discussion, we would love to have you join us. If you have a question for Trevor Weller or Trevor Dimmick or me, just call 347-205-9654. That's 347-205-9654. If you have a question, hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand. You can also send a question to us using the chat room at parentstooltalk.com and click on the chat play button. Right, Chris? It's chat play. I don't have that in front of me. It's the chat button.
I think it's play/chat.
Okay, there you go. I just had them in the wrong order. I mentioned at the start of the show, we are going to be offering, I should say Trevor is offering, a free thank you gift to everyone who asks a question by phone or chat today. And so my producer, Chris Gooling, is going to take a moment to tell us a little bit more about that. And he's also going to tell you about our deep discount resource of the month, which is a chance for our live listeners to save really big on our featured discount of the month right here at Parents Tool Shop. Right, Chris?
Sure, Jody, and thanks, Trevor, for being with us today. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. Trevor is offering a great resource today to anyone who calls or chats with a question. It's a free 30-minute coaching session. So if you have questions about the universal laws Jody and Trevor are talking about today, or if you need help with applying these laws to specific situations, that's when it's time to call Trevor for your free 30-minute coaching session. Now, this is limited to the first 20 people who call. Trevor, you're welcome to increase that number if you like, but we're starting with 20. So the first 20 who call or chat with a question during our live show today are eligible for this free 30-minute coaching session. So once you've called in or chatted in with your question, you want to go right to Trevor's website, which is www.lawsforsuccess.com. That's laws, the number 4, and then the word success.com. Then click the contact link, and that will open up a web form that you can fill out and email. So just mention in that email that you heard about Trevor's offer on Parents Tool Talk, and also let him know what the question was that you asked. And Trevor will get in touch with you to schedule your session. And now just a brief word about our discount resource of the month, and that is the Universal Blueprint Choose Your Own Parenting Solution Handbook. this book is the next best thing to a one-on-one consultation with Jody, because this 35-page ebook is an interactive guide that will help you through the solution creation process step by step. You will learn the basic steps and tools of Jody's unique universal blueprint, which is that one-of-a-kind effective response planning formula presented in the Parents Tool Shop book. It's simple to use this hint book. Just answer the question at each step. Then you click a link or turn a page to find where your answer leads you. And you'll get ideas for what to say and do at each step based on your needs and your circumstances. You can use it over and over again to find individualized solutions to any parenting challenge involving children ages 1 through 18. We are already offering this resource at a 25% discount to our Facebook and Twitter communities for the entire month of November. But during the live show today, we're offering a double discount, so that's 50% off the full price of the resource, which is a real bargain for this one. Normally $47.95, you can get this resource for just $24 by ordering during the live show and for about a half hour after. So this is just for during the live show and about 30 minutes afterwards. So to place your order, go to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. Once more, that's parentstooltalk.com/links. And once you click that order link, the hint book will go into your shopping cart. That's when you enter the coupon code that will cut that price in half. And that code is PTT202. That's PTT, like Parents Tool Talk, 202. And one more time, if you call or chat a question during the live show today, you can contact Trevor through his website, lawsforsuccess.com, to get that free 30-minute coaching session. And, Jody, it looks like we do have some questions coming in from the switchboard, so would you like to take those?
Yes, sure, Chris. That would be great. Unmute whoever the first question asker was, and let's see what they would like to discuss.
Okay, here we go. So our first caller that we're taking is the caller with the phone number that's ending in the numbers 3976. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi there. My question was just basically, how do you determine whether it's a symptom or a problem in the discussion we were just having? Maybe a little more detail on how to determine the difference between the two in a real-life situation.
Okay, great question, Jody. Trevor?
I can step in there, I guess.
Send it straight to you, Trevor. Go ahead.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. that it can be a very difficult process, and it takes time and a lot of conscious effort on your part to kind of pay attention and see. The best way is to try a few different ways to resolve it, and see, does it work to resolve it? Does it just treat it temporarily, or does it keep coming back? For example, I mentioned misbehavior with children. Oftentimes they will start to misbehave because they're needing something. And there's different forms of discipline and ways to deal with misbehavior. And do they tend to work? How do those forms, those different forms you choose to discipline your children and deal with the misbehavior, how does it affect the child? You know, watch the facial expressions and nonverbals that come during that. Pay attention to what's going on when they do misbehave. Did you recently just, you know, put them off or postpone time with them or ignore them? Or did you ask them to do something that may cause them to misbehave? And try to even, I'd like to keep a journal, little notes about what happened and what was happening before the behavior, what was happening after the behavior, how they react to it, how did I react to it. A lot of that law of choice that we talked about previously, what choices did they make? How did they respond to it? What choices did I make? How did I respond to it? Is that answering your question, or am I rambling on here?
No, I think it does. I think,
okay.
Yeah, I think that works.
And I'll add in my two cents is to see if you can figure out which came first. And it's kind of like a chicken or egg kind of a thing. Which came first? So say, for example, a child got his feelings hurt and then he gets revenge. The hurt came before the revenge. So if you can play back, if you're seeing a situation right in the now, and you kind of play back, what came before that? Well, what came before that? What came before that? The farther back you go, the closer you probably will get to what the core is. And the skill that you can use to try to identify the core is to acknowledge the child's feelings. And what you'll often find is that it's usually some kind of an emotion is at the core of a lot of behaviors. Behaviors are usually acting out some kind of emotion. So if you, even if you have to just guess at what the emotion is, if you're wrong, kids will kind of clarify, like, well, no, it's not that, it's this. And then they'll clarify what their feeling is. When you acknowledge the feeling, not only can you sometimes identify what the core of the issue is, but you can often simultaneously resolve it by acknowledging it. And then if you hit on something that isn't resolved, then you can tend to the emotion. When you tend to resolving that emotion or maybe taking an action, you know, to resolve whatever that situation was that caused the emotion, then it's kind of like curing the disease that's at the core, and that of that external behavior or emotion that you're seeing will often just disappear.
Okay, thank you.
Good, thank you, caller, for your question.
I was just going to say, caller, can we have your name so we don't have to keep calling you caller?
Oh, yeah, it's Lisa. That's
hi, Lisa.
Good.
Thank you, Lisa,
hi,
for your question.
Mm-hmm.
And be sure to go to our parentstooltalk.com/links page, so that you can get that. I'm sorry, forget my wrong instructions there. Be sure to go to Trevor's website so you can apply for that free 30-minute coaching session.
Okay, thanks.
And Lisa, also, if you'll go ahead and I believe it's hit the one key again on your phone pad, it will put your hand down. And that way, if you should have a second question, if you hit the one key, it'll put your hand back up again and we'll know you've got a second question. So, and Chris, do we have any other questions?
Yes, we do. Thanks again, Lisa. Now we're going to go to the caller with the phone number ending in 4200. Caller, can you tell us your name and give us your question?
My name's Leslie. And
Hi, Leslie.
Just trying to find the balance. You know, I'm not worried about keeping a spotless home. I mean, one of the things I did when we were pregnant with our youngest was we hired someone to help with the house. But I still find, like, you know, they constantly want my time. They constantly want to play, and just trying to find that balance, and not just the balance as a family, but as a person, just being able to do things that I want to do for myself, and just any advice about trying to find that balance.
I believe there's a time and place for everything, and depending upon the age of the child, kind of depends upon how much time you want to devote to them, and realizing that right now maybe they're demanding a lot of time or expecting or wanting a lot of time, but realizing that as they grow older, they may require or want less and less time, and just realizing you don't want to pass up that opportunity to spend time with them when they want it. You know, oftentimes parents complain about teenagers not wanting anything to do with them, because friends are so important or activities and other things that are so important, and they tend to spend less time with family. And so recognizing that there is a time and a place for everything, and that might help you decide what that balance needs to be. I don't know if I myself or Jody could ever really say, well, this is how much time you need to spend with them and this, you know, kind of thing. Jody, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
What I would suggest, Leslie, is to listen. If you can read yourself, you, I think, will know when it's a time where, yeah, it's been a while, and yeah, it's a good time to play with the kids. And then there will come a point where you'll go, I know I've given them a lot of attention. I know I've spent a lot of time. It's almost like they're depending on me to entertain them. And it feels different than, oh, you know, we haven't spent time together, or this is just really good quality time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see that.
Okay, yeah. That's the point where it's like, okay, now it's kind of shifting to where maybe an approach might be to try to take some time and teach them how to play by themselves or to get them involved in something, even if it's just for a short period of time, so they can get some experience and get some practice. I don't know how young your kids are, but younger kids would need just little bits of time to play on their own, and then they can come back and reconnect with you. That may start to help empower them to be able to occupy themselves, whether it's playing with other kids or just playing by themselves, so that it's not, because you really don't want your job to come to the point of they're depending on you to entertain them at all times, because that really isn't your job. So, and the last thing I'll say, and actually, Chris, I'm going to ask if you could look this up, and if you can find it, put it in our links page. I just wrote an article for Chic Mom Magazine, this issue, and the topic of the article, it was like, I don't feel like being a mom today, and it's kind of like when you're just really tired, and it's not exactly what you're saying, but I remember some of the comments and the suggestions that were in there were for how to get balance back, and so if Chris can't find it during the show, I will look that up and see if I can find a link for it, and we'll add a link to that to the resource page, and you can go read that and maybe get a little bit of inspiration.
Anything helps.
Okay, good. Anything else,
Leslie? Thank
you very
much, Leslie, for your question.
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for your questions. Good questions.
And just one more note to callers, Lisa and Leslie. Sorry, Jody, I was just going to say our switchboard still shows both of you, Lisa and Leslie, with your hands up. And the way you do that, the way you can reverse that is to just hit 1 on your telephone keypad. That will show us that your question has been answered. And that lets us also know if you get another question, then you just hit the number 1 again, and we'll see the hand go up again. I see you both did that, so thank you.
Thanks so much. All right. And Chris, anybody in the chat room with the question?
A couple people in the chat room, but it's quiet. We're all listening. So.
Okay, great.
Jen,
all right.
Trevor, get right into your questions again.
All right. Well, Trevor, let's get back to some of your top 10 laws of change. Let's go to the one that's laws of kingdoms. And you say that this law can help parents resolve conflicts between themselves and their children, who often view the world through their own set of rules and beliefs. So tell folks about that law.
It's a law of kingdom, and it basically states that individually we are our own king or queen of our world, and that we make the rules and we enforce the rules. This kind of stems back from those that are familiar with Jean Piaget's intellectual tendencies, where from childhood or from birth until present day, that we observe our environment, we try to organize the information that we observe, and we kind of form these laws or these rules that we live by and that we expect other people to live by. And depending upon the age of the individual and what they've experienced in life, it is going to create these two totally different laws or these kingdoms that we live in. And the problem is with relationships is when you bring two different kingdoms or law, you know, with different laws together that don't match or don't necessarily coincide with each other, it creates conflict. And people who drive on the road understand this, because you get someone who wants to drive 85 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone, and you get some people who want to drive 55. And when those two people come together, okay, it creates a problem. Someone has to slow down or someone has to speed up. Well, with parenting and in relationships, we come together and we have these totally different laws about how one should behave, how you should act, how you should think, how you should respond to people. And from a parent perspective, oftentimes we expect our children to think more logically and to think more like an adult and experience life more like an adult. And it causes frustration and conflict when they don't. And we have to understand that a five-year-old has a law in his kingdom of a five-year-old that life is about discovery and life is about fun, and life is not about cleaning rooms or doing things that we don't want to do, because we're too busy exploring and discovering and learning. And as an adult, we're thinking, no, now's not the time to play. Now's the time to clean your room. Remember, you know, we decide that you're going to clean your room on this day or this time, or you know, you've made a mess, and so now it's almost time for bed, so you need to clean up, whatever that may be. But as a parent, to be able to sit back and view a five-year-old from a five-year-old's perspective and through a five-year-old's eyes and see his laws or her laws dealing with how life is and what life is about can help us understand more, to help them, motivate them to do the things that they need to do, as well facilitate them in discovering who they are and what they enjoy in life as they grow.
So, Trevor, you're not necessarily saying that the parent's goal is to have their child understand their kingdom or their belief system, but it's to help for parents to understand their child's so that they can reach more like win-win solutions. So, like you had said, cleaning the room. Instead of trying to get your child to value cleaning the room, which is a long-term goal, and that's not a bad goal, it's just a long-term goal. It could be a while before they integrate that and before they internalize that. But in that very moment, to maybe if what they're interested in is discovery and adventure, is to make cleaning the room some kind of an adventure of discovery.
Yeah, or a game, make a game out, because it's about fun, too.
Something that would be
and
fun.
And it all depends upon the child and the age. I mean, obviously, a teenager, you know, they should be able to realize that what they think and feel and believe is different than what the parents, and, you know, and as they grow older, they can start to realize that, you know, maybe, you know, mom and dad aren't necessarily wrong, but maybe not necessarily right, because, you know, a lot of teenagers think they know everything and parents are stupid. But at that point, at some point in life, they can start to realize that they can't understand their parents' kingdoms and their laws are different. But, you know, younger children, they're not capable of understanding that yet. And so a lot depends on the age of the child.
Yeah, and I don't know that we ever can totally understand someone else's, in your words, kingdom, someone else's perspective. I think we can try.
Not fully.
But we all see the world through our own lenses. In our own belief systems. And in the Parents' Tool Shop, the very first chapter is on parenting styles. And it really deals with the whole belief system that we each will hold about what a parent should do and how they should behave. And those belief systems dictate a lot of the choices and a lot of our perspective and how we interpret things that end up developing into our style.
Correct.
So I see a lot of similarities there. We are already at 40 till, and so it's time for our second break because we have a little bit more information. We've got some resources of Trevor's and mine also, but mostly Trevor's that we want to share with you. So, again, Trevor, just get another sip of water there. And for those of you who have just joined us, this is Parents Tool Talk. I'm your host, Jody Johnston-Powell of the Parents Tool Shop. And today we're talking with Trevor Dimmick on the subject of universal laws for happy parents and families. If you do have any questions during the live show, you can call in at area code 347-205-9654 and hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand or send us a question using the chat room. Just go to parentstooltalk.com. And remember, anyone who asks a question today by phone or chat is eligible to receive a free session with Trevor. To claim your prize, you're going to contact Trevor through his website, Laws for Success. That's Laws, the number 4, the word success.com. Tell him the question that you asked, and he'll contact you to schedule your free 30-minute coaching session. If you would like to get access to even more bonus resources, then we invite you to sign up for the Parents Tool Talk mailing list. Bonus resources range from articles written by our guest experts and myself to book excerpts, bonus handouts, and exclusive post-show recordings. This month, we have an excellent resource from Trevor and a few articles of my own that you'll get access to as a member of this list. So, Chris, can you tell us briefly about the resources we have, especially for our Parents Tool Talk mailing list this month?
Sure, Jody. We have a great handout from Trevor Dimmick that tells you all about the laws we're discussing today. It's called 10 Laws of Happily Ever After, and which is also the name of his upcoming book. You can use this handout to follow along with our discussion. Members of the Parents Tool Talk mailing list, you'll get a link to that handout in the post-show resources email that will go out one day after this program airs. We're also including in that email links to free articles by Jody that you could say are very appropriate for the holiday season into which we're all heading. These articles are, quote, immunize yourself against toxic people, quote, defeat the dread of family gatherings, and, quote, achieve your New Year's resolutions. How's that for something, a new challenge for all of us at the beginning of the year? So, again, links to all those articles and Trevor's outline of the 10 universal laws of happily ever after are coming out in our post-show resources email exclusively to our Parents Tool Talk mailing list. That is with the exception of that outline about the 10 laws of happily ever after, which is available now at parentstooltalk.com/links. So if you're listening to this show right now, go to that page and download that link so that you can follow along with us by reading that outline. And to sign up for the Parents Tool Talk mailing list, go again to parentstooltalk.com/links and know that we will never share your private information with anyone for any reason. And I'll hand it back to you, Jody.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. And actually, that handout that they can follow along with, that's going to be up there all month until the next show, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So if you happen to not be listening to this live, if you're listening to this by podcast or RSS feed or download it later, as long as it's still in the month of November 2010, you can still get that handout and follow along as you're listening to our conversation, to the recording of that. And I actually tossed in that New Year's resolution. You're probably wondering why I'm doing the New Year's resolution article in November. And it's actually because of the next law that Trevor and I are going to be talking about, because there's a lot of information in that article that ties in really nicely with some of what Trevor's about to tell you. So, Trevor, tell me about the law of change and how it helps bring about positive, lasting change in families.
Well, Jody, the law of change states that change precedes change. It's kind of an obvious concept here, but oftentimes we want a different result, but we don't change anything prior to the outcome. And in order to change the outcome, the consequence is we've got to change stuff before that to get the outcome to change. And this ties back to that circle of change that I've developed. And the circle of change includes six elements of our life. It includes the stimulus or our environment. This is everything that we see, touch, taste, smell, hear, think, feel, basically everything that comes into our senses. And that's the first part. The second part is what we talked about, the laws of those kingdoms or our belief systems and how life should be. And that's kind of acts as like this filter. So everything that this stimulates us, we see and hear and touch and taste and smell and think, has to be filtered through these laws that say, okay, is this something that's important to me or do I disregard it? Is this something that supports what I believe? Is it something that contradicts what I believe? Is it something that's going to hurt me? Is it, you know, something that's going to help me, kind of thing? And then what happens is it automatically produces these thoughts. That automatically produce some feelings that will eventually produce actions if they're important and they're important enough to stay with us. That will produce the consequences that will then create another stimulus. And so if you look at this clock, you know, the stimulus, if you think of a face clock and you got 1 through 12, you know, the stimulus lies at 12 o'clock. You know, our belief systems lie at 2 o'clock. Our thoughts are at 4 o'clock. Our feelings are at 6 o'clock, or our emotions. The action is at 8 o'clock, and the consequences at 10 o'clock. And it's just this circle. And so this is kind of how that our environment can automatically affect us, or we get into, you know, habits and routines and stuff, is this automatic thing. And the first time I realized this is I used to struggle with this road rage thing. Luckily, I never killed myself or hurt anyone or myself. But, you know, road rage was something that I struggled with for a while, for a few years. And I couldn't figure out why all of a sudden I'd be driving, and then all of a sudden my thoughts and my emotions were so intense that I was doing crazy things on the road that were putting myself and other people at risk of injury. And I could not figure out. And I started to realize that I would see someone driving slower, driving faster, doing something that I didn't like. And it would go through my laws saying, oh, well, you know, maybe you should drive faster, you should drive slower, or you're not being a good driver, or whatever it may be. And it would automatically start to produce these thoughts like, oh, you know, what an idiot, or I can't believe that person shouldn't be allowed to drive. They should have to go get a driver's license test or something else. And it would produce these emotions, and these emotions and thoughts would keep building and building and building until I would do something that then I would regret later on after I'd calmed down. And I realized that this whole process works with everything. Coming back to that whole idea when I was younger and I was diagnosed with dyslexia in seventh grade, I was struggling and I couldn't figure out why, because I loved school, or for a long time I enjoyed school. I loved the discovery. I loved the learning. But then it became to where I kept failing and I couldn't get the answers and I couldn't remember, and it became very frustrating and to the point where I just didn't want to try anymore. And so, you know, I went and got tests and found out I had dyslexia. Well, that became, you know, I wrote laws in my kingdom saying, well, I have dyslexia, that's why I can't learn. Well, I went all the way through high school struggling academically, barely passed high school. And it wasn't until I got into my college, when I got into college, that I started to realize that I had become someone that I'm not. I don't know if that makes sense, but I had to go back in time when I was young and I talked to my parents and asked, you know, what kind of a person was I before I got into school, and what kind of person was I when I was this age? And they told me I was this very intelligent, very smart, very, you know, capable person. And that wasn't who I believed I was. Something had changed from the time I was young until the time I graduated from high school, that my whole laws of my kingdom changed from being this smart, intelligent, funny person to just this dumb, unable to learn, funny person, class clown kind of thing. And it wasn't until after I went back and realized, no, that's not who I am. And I started looking in the stimulus part for things that supported who I really was, that I was this smart person. And I ended up graduating from college with a 3.5 GPA, where I think I graduated from high school with a 1.9 or something, barely. And that was thanks to, like, auto shop and wood shop and drafting. I got A's in, you know. My important classes, my English and my science and stuff, was all, like, D, D minus kind of stuff. But understanding that I can change who I am by just changing my perspective and my beliefs about who I am, and my thoughts and my emotions completely changed my behavior and the outcome of my life.
And it wasn't so much that anything got cured. It all was a matter of changing those perspectives.
Yeah, just a matter of changing who I am. And how I thought about myself, I mean, my self-esteem, I mean, it wasn't really bad. I wasn't, like, suicidal or any crazy stuff like that. But, well, I shouldn't say crazy, but not very smart things. But it was just, you know, I didn't feel good about who I was because I felt like I couldn't learn.
You're very frustrated.
And I thought, there's no way I can go to college, and there's no way I'm ever going to have a good job if I don't go to college, and I felt trapped.
And so then that belief then was starting to discourage you from going to college.
Exactly.
I'm sure that there was a thought that you thought you couldn't even do it.
No, for sure. Yeah, I wasn't going to college. In fact, I didn't start up college until I went about 3 or 4 years of just kind of, and in that 3 or 4 years, I kind of just discovered who I was, and that was kind of when I'm thinking, wait, I think I can go to college. At least, you know, I got that thought of, I think I can go to college. And then I got into college, and I started thinking, I can go. I can learn. I enjoy this. This is fun. This is interesting. And that's where my beliefs started to change. And then those beliefs started supporting my thoughts. And I passed tests, and I would remember, I can. And it completely changed the outcome of my life.
And what you did is that you aligned those. And those of you who have either read the book or taken the class, you'll remember the dominoes of it's exactly what Trevor's talking about. And that's what the article on the New Year's resolutions ties in with, is that when you have a goal or you want change, you can try to do something different. But if you don't change your beliefs or you don't change the feelings and all you're doing is changing the action, you're less likely to succeed in changing that. Whereas, and that's kind of what you're talking about here, is that for you it really started with changing your thoughts. That gave you more confidence, which is a feeling, gave you the motivation to take the action to go back to school, and you kind of kept going through and realigning those as you went through, as you'd run up against the challenge of trying to get those in alignment again.
And it was also choosing to focus on the successes. I mean, I didn't go in and graduate with a 4.0 and was perfect from day one. I mean, I still had failures, but I didn't choose to focus on those because I didn't believe that's who I was anymore. Whereas in the past, I'd say, yep, I failed another test because I can't learn. And as a parent, we do the same thing. Or as a spouse, that we have these laws about ourselves and about our parenting abilities and about our children and about our spouse that may not necessarily be true and correct. And we got to check those laws. We got to check those thoughts and keep all that in check all the time, making sure that everything's aligned, like you mentioned, that we're not, you know, something's not out of whack, that our perspective doesn't need to change or needs to change based upon our belief systems or our thoughts and those and the emotions and actions.
Mm-hmm. But it's an internal job. I think a lot of times parents may come, you know, to someone who does what I do and say, you know, my child needs change, or I have a problem and I want my child to change. And it's very difficult to change someone else, but if any one of us changes in the family system, I often say families are always doing a dance. And we get into a habit of doing the same dance all the time. And all it takes is for one person to change the steps. And at first, it might step on a few toes, but by changing the dance, everyone else kind of has to adjust the steps that they're making. It's like a pebble in a pond, you know, the effect kind of ripples out. And so the first place the parents can change is themselves. You know, taking a look at all the things that we've talked about today, you know, beliefs and emotions and their thoughts, whether or not they're giving choices, you're just kind of tying up you know, all the different things we've talked about today. And by changing those things in themselves, they become different, and then their children respond and interact with them differently because they've grown and changed.
Exactly. And it's important that the reason why we can't necessarily always change our kids, we can affect them and change, but we can't control their thoughts and their emotions. We can try to stimulate them with positive thoughts and positive experiences to try to help them change. But, you know, that law of choice is really gives them that agency or that freedom to decide how they want to interpret what we do, you know, to stimulate them or to affect their environment. But I've found all six of those aspects that I talked about, the stimulus, the laws of our kingdom, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, and our consequences, all six have to support each other. If one is out of whack, it can just mess up the whole dance, like you mentioned. It can mess it up and cause it to change, positive or negative.
Yeah. And so as our children get older, we can start helping them become aware that they have a choice about their thoughts and about their feelings and the actions that they're going to take so that they can start getting those in alignment to achieve the goals that they want to achieve.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I am realizing we are coming up to the top of the hour, and so actually what I'm going to do is do a quick recap, and Trevor, I will throw it back to you one more time for some final comments before our outgoing music occurs. So let me do a quick recap. Our guest today has been Trevor Dimmick, and we've been talking about the universal laws for happy parents and families. And Trevor, I really appreciate all the insights and practical advice that you've given us. If you will, everyone, remember to check out Trevor's website. It's www.lawsforsuccess. That's laws, the number four, and the word success.com. Foster parents, remember to check out from the call for your continuing education hours by either sending a chat message or staying on the line until you hear a recording that the show has stopped recording. Then send your reminder email to questions@parentstooltalk.com, and we will verify your attendance. Those of you who called in live today with questions or, if you will, remember to contact Trevor at his website, lawsforsuccess.com, and then click the contact link on his homepage, and you can send your email mentioning that you heard him on our program and the question that you asked. And Trevor will get back with you with your contact information and schedule that 30-minute coaching session for free. Also, a final reminder that there is still time to take advantage of our deep discount on the Choose Your Own Parenting Solution Hint Book. Just go to parentstooltalk.com/links, put the hint book into your shopping cart, and then enter the coupon code PTT202. That's PTT as in Parents Tool Talk 202, and that coupon will be active until about a half hour after this show ends. So we have really only about 2 minutes, and I need the last 30 seconds for our wrap-up music. So, Trevor, thanks for joining us today. And are there any final comments that you'd like to make before you hear the exit music play?
Yeah, I would just like to remind parents it's about time. You know, we talk about all these universal principles and ideas and methods and theories to be better parents, but when it really comes down to it, it's taking the time to both cognitively and behaviorally take the time to be a part of our children's lives, to help them grow and develop. And I would just like to thank you, Jody, for being For your efforts in teaching and preventing family problems and doing things to strengthen families. I mean, really when it comes down to it, life is about family. The rest of it just kind of falls into place, and it's just necessaries to survive, to breathe and eat. But really, it's the family is our investment. It's our next generation. It's our future. We just need to take more priority, I believe, in putting more effort towards the family and preventing family problems.
Oh, and that's a wonderful thing to end on. And thank you for your encouragement and support also. And thanks to all of you who have been listening today for joining us on Parents Tool Talk. I'm Jody Johnson-Howell, and you can learn more about Parents Tool Shop at www.parentstoolshop.com. And I hope you will join us again in December when our topic will be helping kids participate in the with special guest expert David Zadar. Until then, this is Jody Johnston-Powell, and I'm always yours in service to families. Bye now.